Welcome to Tabletop Tommies, episode 19. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And today we're talking about fixing MMG teams. We may look at LMGs in the future, because there is an argument there over Costard. But today we're focusing right in on MMG teams, specifically infantry teams. Not tank MMGs, because I think there's very few players who would argue that they're overcosted. So, how to fix MMGs in bolt action? By that we mean how to make them good enough that they're always worth considering including. Because right now, they're quite often not worth including. We'll be looking at things like changing the stats, changing the special rules on it. But first, if you are planning to come to the English Open, pick up your ticket now while it's still available.
We're also delighted to announce that we now have a Patreon, which is available at patreon.com/tabletoptommies. We've been absolutely blown away by the support received so far, and this is another opportunity for you, the listeners, to support us to enable us to continue to produce great content on a weekly basis. In addition to supporting through Patreon, if you are buying your miniatures from the UK, if you go to either Firestorm Games or Wayland Games, using the link in the description, not only will you get a great discount on all your bolt action and bolt action related purchases, you'll also be helping to support the pod.
So before we talk about how to fix MMGs, I think it would be good to talk about the problem with MMGs, firstly. So what is the problem with MMGs, Phil? Why aren't people taking them?
I think the major problem is the points they cost versus how effective they are. And following on from that, it's also how easily they can be removed from the game.
Yeah, so if we compare them to, let's say, five regular infantrymen, you could pay 50 points for an MMG team, which gets you 5 shots for most nations. 5 regular infantrymen also get you 5 shots, so they're comparable in that count, but the infantrymen get to move and shoot. They do have slightly less range, but actually if you take that move into account, the infantrymen have a 30-inch range with 6-inch advance, which makes it less of a difference. Additionally, as you say, because the MMG team only includes 3 men, it's less hardy than the rifle section.
Yeah.
It also, because it has the team weapon special rule, it can be removed by exceptional damage, either from a sniper or from rolling a 6 to wound, followed by a 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, we really just do not see MMGs, do we?
No, and it's a real shame, because if you think about how they were used historically, they were absolutely pivotal within platoons and reinforced platoons throughout the war for every single nation. But it's just something you don't see in bolt action, unlike other 28mm skirmish World War II games like Chain of Command.
Absolutely. And I think the times that you do see them, they're also not used thematically. So, for example, the thing that I always think of is I do run quite a lot of MMGs with my Americans. I'll run 3 in a single platoon, but I'll run them as inexperienced. And I'm not running them because they're MMGs and they're going to do suppressing fire.
Yeah.
I'm using them as cheap order dice when I'm limited to a single platoon.
Yeah, and you're hoping that you're going to get a hit, you know, what once per, you know, MMG to put a pin out.
Yeah, I suppose actually there are times that they are a little bit thematic, because sometimes they do act as a little bit of a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
If you sort of set them up overlooking a field where the enemy will be stepping into close range from cover,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to walk into that a lot of the time. But generally, they're just not effective enough at shooting to suppress people, and they're very easy to lose. And so I think for most players, they don't add enough to your army, and they add an element of risk that you don't need.
Yeah, and if you look at other game systems, for example, we mentioned Chain of Command, how they're used in Chain of Command, they put out a lot more damage in terms of the number of dice they roll, and they also give the a potential for a lot more shock in Chain of Command, which is similar to pins in bolt action.
Yeah.
And it's a real shame that we don't see that in bolt action, given how effective they were in World War II, like I said, used by every nation throughout the war.
Yeah, and I think actually, when we jump into our proposed changes to fix MMGs, in the context of the theme, in the war, they were generally used as suppressing fire. And so not being that deadly, in my mind, wouldn't be a bad thing if they were ineffective at actually wounding models.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would be awful. But so long as they were good at suppressing units.
To be fair, though, you're not about to run in front of an MMG in real life and go, it's all right, I'm just going to get a bit suppressed.
Yeah, indeed. But the unit that actually does a really good demonstration of this is the sniper team, where, much like in the real world, one sniper isn't taking out entire squads.
Yeah.
However, they will cause your squads to duck
yeah.
and to hide from the sniper's line of sight.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually I think the sniper is a good demonstration of a unit in bolt action that is well costed, and so it's sort of points efficient, but not so much that it's overpowered, but also is thematic.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's a shame is that we've all got MMG teams in our collection. So either because we've bought one of the starter army boxes and every single starter army box contains an MMG team, or if we've gone down the route of buying one of the 30-man infantry plastic boxes, we quite probably have then bought that command and support weapon box, which has got your mortar, your MMG, your HQ team. So we've all got them sat on the shelf at home. Some of us have painted them, and very few of us are actually using them and bringing them out on the table.
Indeed, yeah. So now that we've defined the problem, let's move on to potential solutions then. So what's the first potential solution we could do then, Phil?
So I think straight off the bat, you said at the start that they are not cost effective. So obviously the first thing you could do is to reduce the points.
Yeah. So what we're talking sort of, if the regular men, let's say 10 points a man plus 10 points for the machine gun, 40 points?
Potentially, yeah.
Would you be taking one of 40 points?
I think I would. However, my concern would be the ripple through effect when you start playing around with the points cost of a unit and how you might need to look at the costings of other units and other weapons and so on. So it's not so much a problem with the MMG team being cheaper. It's more a case of, if you change one thing, how does it skew other things as a knock-on ripple effect?
Yeah, to be honest, I think because it's overcosted, bringing it down, I don't think knocks anything else out. However, what I do like in Bolt Action is 50 points is your standard team weapon cost.
Mm.
And so the sniper costs 50 points regular, the medium mortar's 50 points, the machine gun's 50 points. And I do really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like the MMG to stay at 50 points.
Yeah.
But I think if it was 40 points, that probably would be a fair price for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would take it at 40 points because of other problems with it.
Oh, so you're still, even at 40 points, you think you wouldn't?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's interesting. I thought that would be cheap enough that I could entice you.
Not yet.
In that case, let me propose an alternative solution then.
Yep.
What about if we just increase the shots that it puts out? So we keep everything else the same, 50 points, three men, all the rest. But let's say I make it 10 shots.
Yeah, 10 shots, I'm going to take it.
Yeah. One of the interesting things on that, actually, which drifts into changing the special rules on the shots that I was considering is,
mm-hmm.
it would be interesting with a machine gun to have two fire modes, where you have sort of your short burst mode, where it's 5 shots, or you could do 10 shots at -1 to hit, because obviously you're going to be, if you're just pulling that trigger down and just loosen off, your accuracy is going to go out the window, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit of a spray and pray, and it's going to become therefore area denial rather than, you know, slightly more considered and aim shots.
Yeah, and that is one of the uses of a machine gun, isn't it? The old area denial.
100%, yeah. Yeah.
And so maybe that is a good solution then. What do you think of that?
I think if you increase the shots, and if, you know, whether or not it's 5 and 10 or what have you, but increasing the shots, I'm starting to think I might take them a bit more often. Yeah.
Yeah, my concern, the reason I was proposing that sort of two fire mode version is because I think if you made it 10 shots,
mm-hmm.
you might be verging on, I think once you give it enough shots that it becomes very much worth considering, it may become so powerful in certain situations, like point blank 10 shots is going to be horrific.
Yeah. Or you take your US platoon and you take 3 inexperienced MMGs, you're putting out 30 shots for what, 105 points if on the current points, rankings, as it were.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if they were, say you're hiding in a bush,
yeah,
okay, and you're at long range,
yeah,
my inexperienced MMG, it's going to be hitting you on 6s generally.
Yeah.
And so if we added that, you can have 10 shots, but at -1 to hit,
mm-hmm.
it would push the inexperienced squad to a 7 then.
Yeah.
And so that would be an interesting way to also encourage people to take it at a higher veterancy as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is an interesting idea. I quite like that idea so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other ideas, Phil?
So the other thing you could do in terms of the stats is to change the number of pins it puts out. And this is often done in one of two ways. So the first way you often see is that if an MMG successfully hits, it does D2 pins rather than the standard 1. And the other thing I have seen as well, and I've actually used this myself at the club, I ran a 600-point league last year at the club, and the rule I put in place was for infantry team MMG, so it wasn't for vehicles, was every MMG automatically did 1 pin on the target, whether or not it hit. and then did an additional pin if it hit. This is my way of reflecting the element of suppression than area denial.
Yeah, and the D2 pins seems to be the more popular way TOs are trying to encourage machine guns by adding it to their pack.
Yes.
For me, that means half the time it's just an old machine gun. And so for me, it's not a good... It doesn't fix them for me and it doesn't encourage me to take them. However, the auto pin mode where as soon as you target something, if it could have been pinned, regardless of whether you hit, it receives one automatic pin and then an additional pin when hit. That for me is the way to fix it if you're going to fix it with pins.
You have to be a little bit careful because the danger is that if you've got multiple MMGs targeting one particular unit with, you know, over two successive fire order dice, for example, you potentially could put four pins out on a single unit over two shots. At the very least, you're going to put two pins out, one for each one. What I have seen is the ruling where if it is doing that auto pin plus a possible pin if you hit, it's also minimizing that to say that you can only ever do that to one target unit in any one turn.
Yeah.
So you can't effectively do it twice to the same unit.
I personally don't think if someone does take three machine guns in a US platoon and puts and uses that to put three pins on something automatically, I actually don't mind that because it's only three pins. If they're in cover, they're not taking the casualties. They're just pinned down, which means they're out of the game for a turn because they're going to have to rally or stay down.
Yep.
And I think that actually fits very thematically with machine guns, that if you've got three machine guns pointing at you, you're going to stay down. And so I actually don't mind that too much. And that idea that the machine guns are limited where multiple machine guns can't automatically pin the same unit, I very much dislike that from a gameplay perspective because by the end of the turn, you've often forgotten what the first machine gun shot at if he was your first dice out the bag. And so I really don't like those rules where you have to remember something like that. And you could put tokens next to them, but you could forget to remove the token at the start of the next turn, which means that you don't get the auto pin you should have got. I'm very much in favor with game design of having as little to remember as possible from turn to turn.
Yes. I like the idea of doing D2 pins, and I've played at events where that's been the case, and that has actually encouraged me to take a regular MMG team.
Yeah. For me, it's auto or nothing.
Okay.
I'm not interested in D2. Because it's a 50-50 chance you're going to get the second pin. But what I find in my sort of confirmed bias is that 90% of the time I only get one pin. So those are the three changes that we're proposing in terms of stat changes.
Yeah.
From my perspective, my favorite is increasing the number of shots, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't like changing the points because I like how it's the same points cost as the sniper and the mortar.
Yeah.
I think there's a problem with changing the pins where people perceive them as being too powerful then and start adding those additional home rules of, well, you can only pin one unit once.
Mm.
Whereas the shots, I think, add something quirky. And I think that sort of double fire mode would be a unique special rule to the machine gun.
Absolutely, yeah. It would be, certainly within bolt action, yeah.
Because actually, that's one of the other things that we didn't talk about, where the other team weapons get unique special rules, whereas the machine gun is just... it's just a normal shooting attack.
Yeah, it's just putting out more dice per shot. Yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite of the change in stats?
I think the increasing the number of shots would be the most impactful. I'm quite happy with keeping the points as they are and changing the pins being dished out. That would encourage me, as the rule set currently is, to take them, but I'm not going to be taking them to super competitive events.
No. Whereas I think if you change the shots, they don't become overpowered, but I think they do become very competitive.
I think they absolutely do. My problem with them is not to do with the stats, it's to do with the rules.
Yeah. I tell you the other thing I quite like about increasing the shots that I've just thought of, the classic sort of sniper in the bell tower versus the machine gun behind a wall battle.
Yes.
Now, that machine gun is nearly always going to be on a Super 6.
Yes.
Because it's nearly always going to be long range, hardcover, small team,
yeah.
Now, because it's on a Super 6, if you did that minus one for twice the shots rule, you were already on sevens, but you've just given yourself that slightly better chance of getting the hit. And so it gives the machine gun a way to counter a sniper, because at the moment there really isn't a way for machine guns to counter sniper fire other than deployment.
Yeah, And this is, we'll come on to this in terms of the countering side of things when you change the rules. I was just trying to do the maths in my head there in terms of five dice needing sixes versus 10 dice needing sixes followed by sixes and what the probability is, but my maths is failing me currently.
You're far better off with your five dice needing a six, I think.
You are,
So
yeah.
you've got your expectation on five needing a six would be 5/6.
Yes.
Your expectation on your 10 dice needing a 6 followed by a 6, it's 10 36ths.
10:36, yeah.
And so you're basically looking at 5/6 versus about 2/6 if we round. And so you're far better off with the five shots there. If we convert them both into 36th, then that's 30 36ths and 10
10:36,
36ths.
which is a massive difference. Yeah.
Massive difference, yeah. Brilliant. So we've covered changing the stats. Shall we move on to changing the rules?
Yeah, so changing the rules.
So my first proposal, and I've had this discussion previously, I think, with I've made this proposal previously online, I believe, which is so thematically in both the World Wars, especially the Vickers machine gun was used in an indirect fire capacity, wasn't it, Phil?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and so my proposal for that would be we add indirect fire to machine guns, which I think would be, I don't think it's going to make them super powerful, but it would be a unique special rule to them. But we do it in a way because obviously you're not going to be ranging in the way you would be with a mortar. And so what I would say is you would give it a minimum range of 36 inches, a maximum range of 48 inches. So it's quite a short window it can indirect fire into. And you would give it the same rule that the multiple rocket launchers have, where you always hit on a six and you can't range in.
Okay.
Any thoughts on that?
It's different. I'll give you
Is
that.
it thematic, first of all? Because you know me, I'm all about theme.
You are all about the theme, yeah. Out of the two of us, you are the thematic one of the two.
Indeed.
It's certainly thematic for the Vickers. I don't know enough about other nations and their MMGs. I'm gonna hedge towards saying it wasn't used as an indirect fire weapon with other nations, but it was used with the Vickers and any nation that used the Vickers.
Yeah, I believe in my research, it was a long time when I looked this up, but I believe because the Vickers was water-cooled, it means you can sustain a higher rate of fire for longer generally,
That's right, yeah.
which is why the Vickers is often the one that, when you look into indirect MMG fire, the Vickers is often sort of the class, the textbook case of indirect machine gun fire.
Yes.
But other nations probably did do it, just not on the same scale. And actually, if we did say, let's add this as a British national characteristic and get rid of one of the other ones, like the prep bombardment one or the free. Actually, the one I would get rid of, which is a topic for another episode, is I'd get rid of the British free unit and give them this instead, because they're already brilliant. That would be a really nice British national characteristic that's very thematic to the Vickers.
Now, interestingly, you do see this tactic in terms of indirect fire being used in modern warfare.
Yeah. And so this is why I think even during World War II, there will be cases where you see it happen in other armies because, as you say, it's a tactic that's continued to modern warfare with modern machine guns.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. What do you think of that indirect then, Phil, overall summary?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And I think it has legs, whether or not it's the best possible change to the rules, I'm not sure, but it definitely would add a bit more flavor.
Yeah, so the other change we could do is we could remove the fixed rule. The fixed is a big problem for machine guns because it means if they're misdeployed, they lose a turn of shooting. If they're having to advance to take ground, they're not shooting. Because the light machine guns don't have fixed, an infantry squad with a light machine gun is a far superior choice for the same role than a machine gun team. And so removing fixed could be the fix we need to machine guns.
Yes, but I think we're missing the point here about what MMGs were really like in World War II. Well, they weren't LMGs, which were just static in one place when they were firing. They had tripods, for example, rather than bipods, or they were completely different weapons altogether.
Yeah, and this is interesting because, again, we could go into the sort of the specific nations because with the German army, they're using the same weapon as a light machine gun and a medium machine gun.
They are. So with the LMG, the MG42 or the 34, they are firing it as an LMG either with a bipod or they're firing it without the bipod, but they are static when they're firing it. The MG42, they're firing it with a tripod. It is fixed in place. It's got a better support because of the tripod, and therefore they are able to fire it with a greater rate of fire and also sustained fire as well.
Yeah, well, what's interesting there actually is one of the things when we're talking about the increased shots, that was one of the reasons I thought that was really thematic, because when you fix that machine gun nest up and you've got the extra crewman carrying ammo to you and changing barrels, the increased shots make sense thematically because you can afford to put out more shots because you've got more ammo on hand and you can change your barrel when it starts to overheat. And so, yes, I can appreciate why removing the fixed might be a good game fix, but might break the theme a little bit. Equally, you could have the MG42, sort of an LMG version, acting as an MMG, just by adding the crewman and giving it a nice place to sit. But as soon as he moves, he hasn't got that nice perch, and he's gone back to the LMG mode, and so the reduced fire, etc., makes sense.
Yeah, and I think the problem with that is if you look at, say, take the British, for example, you know, the British LMG was the Bren gun, or the Lewis gun, depending on you know, who was using it and what part of the war. The MMG was the Vickers. They're two very, very different weapons. So you might say for the Germans, yeah, it's an MG42, sometimes with a bipod, sometimes with a tripod. It doesn't translate or cross over to other nations because they had separate and different weapons, which was their LMG and their MMG option.
100%. So we could potentially give the Germans a cheeky little... I think it would need a little bit extra to make it work thematically, like you when your machine gun doesn't move, it benefits from the machine gun rules of extra shots or something, but when it does move, it acts as an LMG. But I think you're absolutely right. If we did that, I think to stay within the theme of World War II, it would be a nation-specific rule that we did. And yeah, I think you're right. It's not one for the Vickers, because the Vickers is too heavy to be ridden around with.
Yeah, it's also interesting what you said about the additional crew, because other games... I know we're a bolt action podcast, but there are other games out there. Other games do reflect this by having an increased crew size for their LMGs and indeed their MMGs, because it reflects the number of people required to be carrying the ammunition, to be carrying the additional barrels, for example, if you've got to change the barrels, or if it's water cooled, to be carrying the water to be able to cool it effectively.
And interestingly, on that note as well, actually, just swinging all the way back to those increased shots, which I seem to be getting stuck on, but swinging all the way back to that, what would be another interesting rule is, in the same way that your morale reduces when you're down to a single man, it would be interesting to have your shots reduced because you don't have a designated loader. You don't have a man who's just changing the barrel.
Mm.
And so what would be interesting with the machine gun is if you did add that suppressing fire mode where it gets twice the shots,
mm-hmm.
it would be interesting if that rule wasn't available when you get down to a single man because you just don't have enough hands to keep loading it.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea, yeah.
Phil, do you have any other ideas to fix these machine guns?
I do have an idea. It is slightly controversial, and it's not only specific to machine guns. It's actually to do with exceptional damage from small arms fire with regards to team weapons. So bear with me. So I'm not suggesting that you change MMGs to say they're not team weapons, because they clearly are team weapons, and they're going to be affected by, for example, only having that single person left firing. However, my issue with MMGs, and the reason why I don't take them, is that they can be exceptionally damaged by one shot from small arms fire, and I don't think that is realistic. I think it's in the FAQ or it's in the rule book, but there's a line in there. Imagine that the small arm fire has managed to catch the machine gun at the right angle to knock out the machine gun. And I just find it a little bit tenuous and a little bit far-fetched to say that a single sniper shot can disable an MMG. I absolutely understand it can disable the man as part of the MMG, but my problem with MMGs is how they can be one-shotted effectively from small arms fire, and the classic example being a sniper. Now, I absolutely would say that you can exceptional damage an MMG from HE. However, if you changed it so that small arms could not exceptionally damage things like MMGs, mortars, possibly even anti-tank rifles, I think you would see a big swing towards considering taking MMGs.
I don't think I would include an MMG with that one change.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem for me with MMGs isn't their defense, it's their offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're squishy, but I don't mind a squishy unit if it's also dangerous.
Mm.
And so for me, that wouldn't entice me to take them alone. Additionally, the problem that I have with that one, and probably why, it's a bit of a controversial one, but it is a huge change to the entire game.
Yeah.
And a bit like how you're... So where you'd said changing the points might push everything out of balance, this one would throw a lot of the game out of balance. Specifically, I'm thinking about the team weapon that I said was well-balanced, which was the sniper.
Mm.
If the sniper cannot remove team weapons in a single hit, the sniper is not worth taking because if you come up against a regular army, you can only kill one man a turn. It'll take you five turns before you get your points value back.
Yeah.
And so I don't like this for that reason, because you break snipers. Now, you could, I suppose, get rid of exceptional damage from small arms,
mm-hmm.
but give the sniper that special rule. I still quite like, I do enjoy the risk of, oh, is it a six? Is it a six? and I think you can make sort of like mental leaps and sort of suspend your disbelief to justify the exceptional damage. For example, if it's a sniper and the machine gun team is under sniper fire, it may be that the rest of the team has just bugged out because they can't find a spot where they know they can set up safely.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've just retreated to go and find somewhere else to deploy that they know is safe. But obviously, in this sort of abstraction of a battle, we're playing sort of 10 minutes of a battle, aren't we?
Yeah.
And so in my mind, I can sort of justify that exceptional damage that the MMG team have gone, core, it's a bit hot round here. And they've just sort of like retreated back to the lines to sort of receive new orders to then go and redeploy somewhere else.
Now, I will admit it is quite controversial and it is a big change to the game mechanic. And I did say earlier that reducing the points would have a ripple effect and be too big a change. And I'm well aware that I can hold two contradictory views at the same time.
Indeed, yeah. The old double think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For me, it is just a case of it doesn't make them any more dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'm not tempted to take them. And it makes something else worse. And so for me, it's not...
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, though. It is a really interesting idea.
Well, you know me, I like to throw something in just to give us something to think about.
Yeah. So as a summary, why don't we pick... We've thrown out six different ideas there.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not going to do all of them
mm-hmm.
because that would be too big of a change. I think you change... sort of one thing at a time, see the effect it has, and then change something else. So
you got to have your constants, and you got to have the thing that you're changing, and you got to observe the effect of the change, and then you might change something else.
So we've suggested six things. I think we should choose our favorite as our suggestion going forward. Do you want to choose yours first, or would you like to hear what my favorite of the six ideas is?
After you, Johnny.
So my favourite of the six ideas, and I must admit going into this, before we discussed it, I hadn't decided what I thought was the best course of action, but I really am liking this idea that we keep an MMG at the same points, same pins, but we give them a special mode of fire, a suppressing mode of fire where they can shoot twice as many shots at minus one to hit, and I think that would be brilliant, with the caveat that when you're down to a single man, you can't do suppressing fire. That would be the one that I would most like to see, even if it's just sort of house-ruled, see how it plays. I think that's going to make them really thematic and definitely worth taking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And what about for you, Phil? What's your favourite of the six?
I'd like to say we get rid of the issue of exceptional damage from small arms. The one we see at the moment is the have a look at the number of pins, but I actually think it's increasing the number of shots.
It's nice for us to finally agree on something, isn't it?
It's rare as well, yeah. Very rare.
I've got documentary evidence of many times we've agreed. So we're in agreement, bizarrely. We're in agreement that increasing shots probably would be the solution to the problem.
Mm.
I do, however, I think this is just personal preference, but I do really like this indirect fire thing, especially for the Vickers. And if the Brits weren't already so well padded out, I would 100% propose that they added this as a special rule for the Brits.
Mm.
I think we'll probably do an episode at some point where we talk about free units and my dislike for them. And I'd like to put that indirect fire rule on the back burner for that discussion,
Okay.
because I'd like to replace the British FAO
Yeah.
with Vickers indirect fire. And I think that'd be really cool.
Now, I have to say, I do like the idea of not having free units, but instead of having unique special national special rules, which adds the flavor and the character without adding an additional 100 points or 150 points or 75 points, depending on the unit you're buying and how much free stuff you get with it.
Yeah. Actually, I'm really looking forward to an episode about the free units, because the one word I would summarize it with is scale. The other national rules often scale quite nicely. The free units don't scale with the size of the army very well. But that's a conversation for another day, I think, sir. Shall we sign out?
Thank you for listening. Share, like, subscribe, drop us your comments on Facebook.
As ever, thank you for listening. Please leave us a review. Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.